The following live broadcast of Tribbles in Ecstasy may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised. Now give it up for Warp 11.
Broadcasting live from Vulcan number 1, where hilarity will ensue and the topics are like Ryza after you've gotten the Corvette and the birds. So, we got a number of people on tonight, down here in Studio Tribble. We of course have Alistair on. How you doing, sir?
I am not amused. This fountain is not on.
It's not a fountain, it's a reflecting pool.
No, they just have bad plumbing here.
True. Alright, and we got Roach holding down the fort with us. How you doing tonight, sir?
Well, to be honest, I'm doing okay, but I'm not feeling too good. I'm kind of nervous. Went to the doctor earlier. I'm about as nervous as George Zimmerman at an NAACP gun rally.
Whoa.
And Skipper, how you doing?
Confused just as much.
Well,
understand.
Hi, Skipper. Have you met yourself?
No, I haven't. I'm just confused.
That's well, now I'm confused.
We're all confused. Can we all be confused?
Welcome to Tribbles in Ecstasy, take 80. We're confused.
Welcome to Tribbles in Ecstasy, take 3, episode 80. We're all confused and, well, we're only halfway here. Anyway, Woody Valley, how you doing today, man?
Joel and True, everyone. I'm going to be on my wrong end today.
Spreading some reunification love.
Yes, and just for English translation, I just pretty much said g'day.
Australian Romulans. Awesome.
Yes, I come from down under.
Down under the warp core.
Do the lights turn the other direction when y'all transport?
I know. I have to try that out.
Awesome.
That was actually a clever question.
That was. So, we got a couple of things to cover tonight. Tonight's sort of a foundry overload because Woody Valley managed to get two different missions in, a Fed mission and a KDF mission, and I managed to work my way through quite a really cool mission as well. So we'll go ahead and cover the important news, and then we'll get into what we think about things, and probably we'll tell you what we think about the news too. So because you know we're multi-servicing, we service from multiple. Whatever. Do we do that thing where we talk about lots of stuff? Anyway, on screen number 3 came out, what was it, yesterday or today? I think it was yesterday. But the topics covered is that, the highlights at least, which I recommend going to look at it regardless, but the highlights are that the Ryzen Resort map is going to stay around. It's going to be kind of a permanent fixture, and I know that there are a number of fleets planning hide and seek things with the floaters and whatnot. So that'll be kind of cool to keep going. I wonder if they're going to keep the different things like the birds and the missions and stuff like that. I think they should. Thoughts? ...
I seem to think that. It's good to be hanging around, but I don't think many people are going to be hanging out there because it's all the content that's in it is going to be followed around the summer events, so it's going to be pretty quiet down there.
Yeah, but it's still currently the only zone where you can use the floaters, so.
Might help if they actually put it into the foundry. give us some life that way.
That would definitely be cool. Any other thoughts?
Beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball.
I don't know that I'd want to pair up with the Romulan team, or not the Romulan team, against the Borg team. I don't want to deal with the Borg team.
Is it the bathing suits or the extension arms?
both.
Really? Because to me, it's the fact that they can, you know, jump 20 feet in the air.
Oh, that's only in the movies. In the TV show, they can't jump nearly that high.
Also, or wherever the plot calls for.
True. Also,
see, you young whippersnapper Katsu, I remember the day when the Borg could jump 20 feet in the air and simulate through a tubule through their elbow while looking at another person.
Uphill both ways in the snow?
No, really, back in the old days of the STFs, the Borg could jump 20 feet in the air, simulate you with a tubule that fires out of their elbow from like 20 meters away while targeting another person.
Wow. So I'm glad they fixed that. Bran Flakes, as well as Captain Kiki, mentioned, of course, the presence that STO is going to be having at Star Trek Las Vegas, which is coming up in 2 weeks. They're talking about the different panels they're going to have, kind of a side-by-side panel with Denise Crosby talking about returning as Sela and other roles that are in planning development, I guess. Also, they discussed there might be some Season 8 spoilers. They also discussed the idea of the new enemy in Season 8, which was discussed earlier in like the state of game. But they've confirmed that it is a Voyager enemy that has not yet been seen in the game itself. I know there's some theories going around here in the studio. So what do y'all think it is, guys?
One thing I should do is correct you, because it's not 2 weeks, it starts next week.
Oh, well, it starts next week. Sorry. I lose track of time sometimes. So, potential aliens? Alistair, I thought you had, if I remember right, you have an opinion on the subject.
I think, considering the size and design of the object we saw on that one, the state of the game, the picture, I want to say Voth. They were the dinosaurs. They evolved on Earth, GTFO'd, and they had some really, really advanced technology like personal cloaking devices and transwarp. They made the Borg look like they were standing still. And
now, are these the same dinosaur species that supposedly somebody in the Federation we go down and disrupt their ability to make warp travel every couple of decades because they're so religiously fanatical they would kill every other species?
No.
Okay.
These were the species of dinosaur people that,
Don't get me wrong. Dinosaurs, lasers, phasers, and spaceships is cool. I'm up for that.
They evolved on Earth and developed technology, and I've spent a long time since I've seen the episode. I'll probably bring up the episode tonight after the show and watch it on
Stowe is now a virtual larger version of Land of the Lost?
Yeah. Well, you see, what happened was the Voss believed in their own superiority, and so they created cybernetic versions of themselves, which of course then rebelled and forced the humans to fight a big long war, which ejected the robots, who we shall call Cylons, and then of course they return, kick them out, and then they have to begin a new expansion away from Earth towards colonies that their other friends had settled. 12 of them, say, and then where they begin the process all over again. That's the plot of Star Trek, right?
I thought it had a chlorine breather that was shapemakers too, I swear.
Yeah, something like that. So, in addition, we will be dealing with the first space adventure zone. So, I think that'll be really cool, because my ship is
space.
Because I know my ship is kitted out way better than any of my ground stuff. So, also, apparently there will be, quote, new max level content, which to me sort of says, yay, more STFs. And, you know, in the whole perfect world STO sense that grind equals endgame, I'm thinking that's what we're going to end up seeing is more STFs. They've also discussed a new reputation system and a new holding. I think the reputation system, they're just going to tack in an extra, yay, congratulations, you can now spend energy credits on hypos for this new faction.
Am I the only person who thinks the reputation system should be account-wide?
I think that the reputation system should not involve energy credit expenditure. If you've made a currency useless, then you need to just remove it, or you need to quit making people invest in that currency for the sole purpose of advancing this little system. I'm perfectly happy with marks and expertise for gaining levels. I don't see a point to all of the other unnecessary junk that comes with the reputation system.
Yes, we went from a lot of different currencies down to nothing, and now we're back to a lot of different currencies, it seems.
Yeah.
Ew. My biggest concern is, because it doesn't take long to max a character in this game. I mean, in terms of play hours. I mean, yeah, you can do 3 hours here, 3 hours there, 3 hours here. But, like, I think the last character I brought from level 1 to level 50 was, 32 hours of game time. So, after that 32 hours, it's like, congratulations, you can grind. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing an account level, because that would make things a hell of a lot easier for me, because I've got, like, 550s right now, and if I really sat down and cranked out my last couple of tunes, I'd have, like, every one of my slots would be a 50, and I just can't grind STFs on one and then log out, grind on the other. I don't have that kind of free time. So I wouldn't mind an account level.
Yeah, I mean, another MMO has an account-wide reputation system. And it works because it takes a while for you to level all the way up. And all they would have to do is to add functions, so it just takes a little bit longer to level up. But at this point, you know, it kind of seems like it's a little too late for the Omega, Romulan, and Nukara reputations, because they're already leveled up on a lot of people. But for this new system, I don't see why they don't make it, you know, account-wide, because if you've leveled it up on one character, you've kind of earned it. Because it's not really easy. It's not a simple thing to do all the missions that you require to get marks, and then grind up all the energy credits you need to spend, and then grind up all the expertise you need to spend, and grind up all the dilithium you need to spend. If you've earned it, you've earned it.
Oh, yeah. So, perfect world. We know you're listening. Apply these things, and they shall make us happy. Also, news-wise, released was Legacy of Romulus number 35, the blog. Dev blog covered the Romulan temporal vessels, which, for the most part, are reskins of the temporal science vessel and the temporal destroyer, but made all Romulanified. That is now a word that I just made up. Romulanified. Look it up in the dictionary of Katsu. Specifically, the Remor science vessel, which is found in temporal lockboxes, and the Talvath temporal destroyer, which is found in the Lobby store. These are, from the way I read the dev blog, they are added to the existing lockbox. It's not going to be a brand new box. So they just kind of modified the table, from what I'm gathering. The other thing is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'll admit to having none of the temporal vessels. The Remor and the Tau actually have universal consoles that can fit into any of the temporal ships. They the other vessels don't actually have the special consoles, do they? For the people that own the temporal vessels, are there like separate consoles, like the Mannheim console and stuff like that, in those ships? They're in the Romulan ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so are they the
science
same
ship has the Tepler, I think is what it is.
Okay, yeah, the one that does the temporal rewind.
Yeah, and then the destroyers have the Mannheim device. And then if you use them together, you get a special bonus.
Okay, so it's the exact same consoles, just all Romulanified. Like, I sort of like the look of them, but admittedly that's because, like, I'm a White Star fan, you know, from Bab 5. I like the kind of semi-hollowed look of ships.
You noticed that too, huh?
That's why, it's why I like the temporal, is it the adapted destroyer that's the big boxy one that y'all said looks like
That's the adapted.
Yeah.
That's the adapted battle cruiser.
Yeah, that one that, you know, looks sort of like Andromeda. It's sort of in a way, to me at least, looked kind of like, had that reminiscent of the White Star. And then the Romulan Temporals really look like it, and the Corvette, despite having the big long nacelle pontoons and stuff, it's got that kind of like over, I guess like a almost a bridge between the two nacelles, and they kind of house the cockpit between the two, and it kind of gives that same kind of, I guess, airy look that I really like in ships. I can't express to you, like, despite the fact that I'm kind of a more a Fed person than a KDF person, that's blasphemy, I know, but shush. Like, I don't like saucers. They look repulsive to me. So
you're preaching to the choir. Sorry, I really enjoyed the look of the White Star and other ships from that series. But then again, I don't like the rotating cylinders either, so I'm kind of weird like that.
Says you, Earth Force Destroyers, buddy. That's how you roll. Anyway.
I loved the concept of the rotating cylinder to apply gravity.
Oh, no, I like the concept as a technology we could use today, but yeah, I'd love to move beyond it as soon as we can.
Well, no, that's the thing, and this is a Babylon 5 diversion, of course, but the normal destroyers like Prometheus and Agamemnon and those had the rotating hab core, but the advanced destroyers that came out afterwards and a lot of the patrol boats and stuff actually didn't because of the deals they made after the Earth-Minbari War. So, like, most of your bigger, heavier ships of the line, they sacrificed the grav generators for rotating hab cores, but beyond that, like, they're all solid state, which is very kind of, I like it because it creates a very distinct Earth image. You know, it's kind of like,
I can agree.
To bring it back to STO, that's actually why I've actually had people talk about, like, they don't like all these Federation member race ships showing up all of a sudden, and I'm like, no, it's cool, because, like, I want to see, you know, because, I mean, ship design is fundamentally about what a culture values, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, you get into the weird things about, you know, white nacelles or whatever, but the thing is, you know, a human is going to make a ship that looks appealing to a human, a Vulcan's going to make a ship that looks appealing to a Vulcan, so I think it's really cool to see the different design philosophies of these different races, you know? Like, I'm not
being
entirely
made by a human.
Well, but you know what I'm saying. Like, the Ryzen ship kind of has that pontoon boat feel because they're Ryzens. It's what they do. They just chill all day long. It's like...
oh, yeah. I mean, I do...
What is it? Eddie Izzard's comment on Italy? Like, Eddie Izzard's comment on Italy, they just ride around on scooters all day going, ciao, and being cool. You know, like, Ryza, that's what they do. They just kind of chill out on beaches and drink Mai Tais and, like, hey, look at my ship. I landed it in the water because I can. You know? Makes you worry about, like, what their oceans are, like, giant parking lots. Anyway.
I've had a lot of fun in giant parking lots of boats in Texas, and
yes.
It's worth having.
I'm actually driving through, as a total side note, I'm actually going through Conroe here in a couple of days, and Lake Conroe is just beautiful, especially with all the little houses on the marina side. It's pretty cool. Anyway, side complete diversion because of some
Squirrel.
Reason that I haven't thought of. Squirrel. Anyway.
Tribble.
Tribble. Couple of tribbles. At any rate, so the Foundry, we've got three different missions that were run this weekend, two by Woody Valley, one by myself, or this week. And so I think if you don't mind, sir, we'll just we'll trade off. We'll let you do one, then I'll do one. I'll do mine, then you'll do whichever one you didn't do first. Sound like a plan?
That sounds like a good plan to me.
Well, you know, that way you're not talking forever, you know. So which one do you want to talk about first?
Okay, the first one I want to talk about first is a Federation mission called In the Mirror, and it's made by...
Was the Gao?
The Gao, that's it. Yeah, it's involved in the Mirror Universe, and you're going around being part of the Terran Empire instead of the Federation, and it's tied in quite a lot with the Enterprise episode of being in the Terran Empire and stuff like that. Very orientated that way, with you starting off being your first officer of your ship and stuff like that, and make your way to be captain. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's part one of a three part series, but he's only made part one so far. So hopefully people can go out and start playing it. It might encourage him to hopefully bring out a part two in the not too distant future, hopefully.
Awesome. Have you noticed that the Terran Empire strike is like very, very Klingon-esque for assassination?
Yeah,
and it's very, like, take away the Klingon sense of honor, and it's very reminiscent of a lot of the Terran Republic stuff.
Yeah, it's very, I noticed with the Terran Empire side of things, it's sort of like every man for himself, and once you get something, it's sort of like back of the rest of you, so I'm all right, thanks, Jack. Type of mentality with sort of like his control and power that they seem to have.
Well, the Klingon's not quite that sort of cutthroat empire, so to speak.
Well, I'm saying remove the Klingon honor code, and you really kind honor's about the house, you know.
Remove any sort of code of conduct from the civilization and see what happens to it. I mean,
I do want to go on record right here to say all hail Empress Hoshi. So, Young, go on from here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what's your rating on that? What'd you rate it after you were done?
Yeah, I rated a full stars. Complimented him on the storyline. Because I think this is about the first time I've ever actually seen this sort of storyline where you actually be part of the Terran Empire instead of a Federation player being stuck in the Terran Empire world, alternate universe. I definitely complimented him on that.
Okay, so to clarify, this is not you suddenly find yourself in the Mirror Universe like Mirror Mirror or anything. This is fully set in the Mirror Universe. Like, there's not like a Prime Universe injection at all. Is that what I'm getting?
I don't know. Well, this is only like part one of part three series, so I don't know what the rest of that story is going to be like. But yes, it's pretty much it's unique type of Terran Empire sort of missions, bit like the Enterprise episode.
Nice. I love the Enterprise episode.
Where you actually play a Terran, not a Federation member.
That's actually really cool.
I actually played it's like a 10-part series now of Foundry missions done by someone where you play a Terran officer in the Terran Empire. Actually really good, really long, and if I remember right, because it's been a while, it had been designed so if you make a certain decision at the end of one Foundry mission, they would say, go play Foundry mission A, or if you made decision B, go play Foundry mission B. That way it would reflect upon the change.
Oh, so it's like a decision tree?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, the mission that I did was called the Interwarp Experiment by Astro Rob LA. What actually attracted me to it, because we've mentioned this before about, like, you know, maybe not the feature spotlight episodes, but the one that really kind of stuck to me is the fact that it only had 473 reviews, 474 when I was done. So, I mean, it's only had a handful of 100 reviews, as opposed to some of these others that have like 10,000 reviews and stuff. The Interwarp Experiment, it's you get grabbed by this admiral who tells you to drop everything and jump out to the Briar Patch, wherein an old academy blank is waiting for you and has been tasked as the project lead of this certain project known as the Interwarp Experiment. And the reason I say this academy blank is that about a quarter of the way through the mission, it's the writer puts in in kind of Captain's instruction text that there's two different dialogue chains that can occur. One, as though this person is an academy rival, and one, as in this is an old love interest. And they recommend that, because it's not one of where you, it's not like a real story decision chain where you can kind of flavor text. It's really kind of, you either pick that you were a rival and you stick along that discussion line, or you were a love interest and you stick along that discussion line. I did the rival because I'm a male character and it was a male and the NPC's male, so I just didn't feel like dealing with all that. Your mileage may vary, of course. And it's a V. On the pro side, the combats were really fun. They were action on their on the ground missions were very close action. The space missions, there's lots of asteroids that break line of sight and make it kind of tricksy to fly around, which I'm always a big fan of tactical warfare. So I thought that was kind of cool. The thing I like about it is from a roleplay perspective, the first time you beam down, there's an advice that it's like, you may want to just grab a bunch of engineers and scientists for this. And, you know, you find out why in the plot, and it's not like, it doesn't change your gameplay per se. It just kind of helps you with the flavor of the mission, you know? The downside is that, this is a very, it's a downside for me, because I graduated from the Captain Malcolm Reynolds School of Deep Scientific Analysis, which is to say I like it in Captain Dummy Talk. That being said, it's a very science-driven, very engineering-focused style mission, which are reminiscent of a lot of like the TNG episodes where, you know, you kind of have to figure out how this new piece of technology works, so 90% of the time you're talking to the engineering scientists. But like I said, I'm one of these guys that I like to shoot first, and so having a lot of dialogue that's really technical kind of dragged it down a little bit for me. Final analysis, Rob L.A. I gave it a 4, because it's really in-depth, and they cover a lot of the bases that are very traditional Trek, you know, rivalries and the hubris of man and all this other good stuff. But the downside was that he kind of lost me in a lot of the tech talk, and he just really lost me in a lot of the tech talk. I think that would be the only critique I really had of it, and I let him know that. So Woody, you did a KDF mission.
Kapla, I certainly did. It's called Troublesome Times by Sok Erunnus, I believe that's how you say it. It's a good story, but it's a simple story of you get asked to go to a outer colony of the Klingon Empire that seem to have a problem with some tribbles that are breeding in the colony. Yes, so you go off to deal with it, and further on investigations and found that you have a Federation involvement into it, so you have to deal with that and stuff like that. So it is seems like it's a pretty old mission I played, because it has like over 800 reviews on it, so it sounds like it's been a while, but it's certainly good, plain and simple, you know, plenty of shooting, you know, kill the Fed, blow up some ships and whatnot in it, so a little bit of combat in a way, and it's a good handy little mission, and it gives the full 1440 dilithium from it as well, and same with the Federation mission I just mentioned earlier too.
Yeah, mine gave about that as well, so definitely three missions definitely worth giving a try. Again, we'll go ahead and put this out here that we are constantly looking for missions. TribblesInXTC@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on our Twitter feed, which is @TribblesInXTC, or at Hollow Sweet Media. Or, of course, mine, which is @KatsuTSW. Shoot us a name. Again, we don't like to do the big spotlight missions on the Foundry. We don't like to do them by publishers that are constantly putting out quality content. We kind of want to highlight the guys that, you know, aren't always getting the limelight. You know, we want to make sure that the community base is broad, not necessarily focused. You know what I'm saying? Definitely let us know. We're willing to do KDF. We're willing to do FedSide. I know I have people on both sides of the fence. Woody's got people on both sides of the fence. Most of us have, you know, a KDF and a Fed tune. So, and some of us even have Romulans. Dun, dun, dun. So definitely hit us up. Let us know what's going on. And we will put it into our notes and make sure some guys get these Foundry missions played, so that we can tell people what we think about them and share them around and maybe get some dilithium out the deal. So at this point, we're going to what I, you know, my second favorite part of the show, which is the Star Trekkin', where we discuss both science and Trek that's going on in the real world. And the science thing is that August 6th will actually mark the first full year that the Curiosity lander has been on the planet Mars. Curiosity has provided 190 gigabits of data, returned 37,000 full images and 35,000 thumbnails. It has fired more than 75,000 laser shots to investigate the composition of targets. It uses lasers. Why can't I use lasers? It's collected and analyzed sample material from two rocks, has driven more than 1 mile on the surface of Mars. There will be a number of things going on. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden is quoted on the NASA website as saying that the success of Curiosity, the dramatic touchdown a year ago, science findings since then, advance us toward further exploration, including sending humans to an asteroid and eventually to Mars. He also went on to say that there are wheel tracks now, and those wheel tracks will lead to boot prints later.
Except we all know what they drew with those wheel tracks.
Well, it's no different than what we probably put with the boot tracks, because, you know, after all, we're humans. Go America. Anyway. America. I have a terrible feeling that this kind of goes hand in hand with I watch Doctor Who, and it's always great watching the Americans be played as these like knee jerk, you know, shoot 'em up guys, and it makes me really glad in some ways that other countries are going into space now, because if that's really the view of the rest, if that's the view that the rest of the world has about America, I'm really hoping that that's not what aliens think about Earth, is what Americans put out there. So
maybe a reason why nobody's stopping to say hi.
Just saying. So the program will be there will be a program on NASA television and the agency's website. It starts at 10:45 a.m. Eastern, and will run till noon on Tuesday, August 6th. Immediately following the program, from noon to 1:30, NASA TV will carry a live public event from NASA headquarters. It'll feature NASA officials and crew members aboard the International Space Station as they observe the rover anniversary, discuss how its activities and other projects are helping prepare for a human mission to Mars and an asteroid. Social media followers can submit questions on Twitter and Google+ in advance and during the event by using #AskNASA. Curiosity is about the size of a car. It has traveled 764 yards in the past 4 weeks since leaving a group of science targets where it worked for more than 6 months. The rover's making its way to the base of Mount Sharp, where it will investigate lower layers of a mountain that rises 3 miles from the floor to the crater. Or from the floor of the crater. And then to follow the conversation online, you can use hashtag the number 1 year on Mars, or you can follow at NASA and at Mars Curiosity on Twitter.
You know, speaking of curiosity, I know that the American space program gets a lot of flack, especially from American citizens, about the fact that we don't do much with it anymore. We even retired the space shuttles before we had something to replace them.
Well, the American citizens honestly didn't support it anymore.
Yeah, but there was an amusing comment.
Because after all, what is JWoww doing? We need to know that.
Yeah, I know. But no, there was an amusing conversation that I read on a social site where it was right after the space jumping thing several months back.
Yep.
Well, it says that awkward moment when a energy drink has a better space program than your country. And someone replied that awkward moment when your country lands a nuclear powered laser equipped SUV on Mars with a rocket crane.
Yep. So no.
Also,
I'm
going to be honest. That was the best way for America to one up London for the Olympics.
True.
It's like, oh, you're hosting the Olympics? Rocket powered hover crane.
Oh yeah, beat that. I still don't have my hoverboard. I don't. I'm upset. So,
are they supposed to come out in 2 years?
Supposed to. Robert Zemeckis, pass your.
I'm just waiting
on.
For my auto lacing Nikes.
Dude, what?
Self drying clothes.
A betting book and a time machine. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I'm always a big fan. Like the reason I say this is my second favorite part of the show is like, I love science. I want to see
science.
I want to see where science is taking us, and it also then depresses me when I realize that most
you
people
going nowhere.
Yeah, it's great. It's like we got a cool car that's tires rotate at a million miles a second at a million rotations a second, but it's suspended 5 inches above the ground, and so therefore it's not moving. So like, I know I share a lot of people's frustration at the fact that we're now having to taxi our astronauts and our scientists up to the International Space Station and beyond, and the best thing we can do is shoot rockets into space, despite the fact that, you know, 50 years ago, we were putting men on the moon because we could, you know? So it always kind of, in a way, saddens me a little that we're not there, or that we suddenly decided that was, you know, too ambitious, I guess, or just not worth our time, and instead we needed to focus on who the new castmates are in the guest house of Big Brother or something. You know, I think that's I don't know. I think
or
that's a horrible legacy.
It's all on purpose.
Dun, dun, dun.
I want to go back to the on purpose where we're going to other planets and doing cool stuff. I mean, this is the, you have to understand, this is coming from a guy who, you know, I was part of, you know, I was part of the 80s You Can Do It programs, I keep calling them. You know, Junior Achievement, and Young Astronauts, and, you know, all these different national programs that were like, what? You want to learn how to run a business when you're 4? Go ahead, we'll teach you, because we're America, and we'll do this. And, you know, I don't like getting all, like, super pro-America when it's not deserved. But, you know, that was definitely a period of time where it was deserved, because it was like, here I was in elementary school learning about the idea, learning about, you know, international, global, you know, manufacturing techniques, because they would bring in this ballpoint pen. Did anybody else do this where they took the ballpoint pen, they break it down and divide all the springs into one, you know, and like one kid had all the springs and one kid had all the upper barrels, one kid had all the lower barrels, and one kid actually had the ink, you know, insert, you know, the ink cartridge, and you had to go and negotiate for things, you know, to make sure
I've done similar
team
exercises,
had all the stuff.
But it wasn't a pen.
Well, this was in elementary school, you know, and I, you know, I don't know that that's being done anymore, and I don't think that it's being presented, despite the fact that that's a, like, to me, that opened my eyes and my mind to a bunch of stuff, you know. And I think that it's really kind of a sad thing that those kind of things have gone by the wayside. Of course, then again, I'm also depressed that home economics has now turned into consumer science. So, like, they don't teach you how to make anything anymore. They teach you how to shop for things. And that kind of depresses me. But speaking of things that don't depress me.
Boobs.
Well, there's that. But there's also the Vulcan Trexcetera Museum, which also ties in pretty cool in that we're on Vulcan right now. Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, is home to the Trexcetera Museum, which is opening today, which also marks the 100th anniversary of the city of Vulcan. Vulcan is between Calgary and Lethbridge. I think I pronounced that right, because English is never the same depending on what country you're in.
Forget it's Canada. You also have to say it in French.
No thanks. Even though I'm Cajun, I'm not speaking in French. The Trexcetera Museum the city of Vulcan has a replica Enterprise. It also boasts, the museum itself boasts Star Trek memorabilia and artifacts, as well as screen-used props, costumes, and pre-production items utilized for many of the Trek series and films. I'd say its location's at 118 2nd Avenue South in Vulcan. The city of Vulcan also is home to the Spock Days Festival, which is an annual event that happens the second week of June. So definitely it's kind of like, it's like a Star Trek museum, which opening, you know, this opening this week, with this going on, with the Starfleet convention happening, with Star Trek Las Vegas happening, next week. So there's a lot of Trek stuff going on. I would highly recommend, you know, if you're near it, I believe the Trexcetera Museum's website is Trexcetera, TrekCetera.com. Definitely give it a look-see. See if something there, or see if you can get out to it and experience the opening. I think that's the opening weekend is being specifically dated to Gene and Majel Roddenberry, and Rod Roddenberry has a video video opening that he's recorded for the museum itself. So,
and now for something completely different.
Exactly. We fail at that. Okay.
I'm looking at the name now for something completely different section of the show notes. Are we just gonna wing it?
We're gonna wing it. Actually, there's a couple of things that are going on in the wide world of nerddom that definitely worth talking about. There's really one that jumps out at me, and if you're a Holosuite Media listener, more so than a Tribbles listener or whatnot, you know that last night on our sister show Beyond the Veil, I mentioned the 15th of August here in the United States, and you'll have to, of course, check rifftracks.com for this. Rifftracks will be live in theaters. Rifftracks is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 people. They will be rifftracking Starship Troopers, the Casper Van Dien. No, it's not Casper Van. Is it Casper Van Dien? What was his name? That was the Johnny Rico there.
Kill them! Kill them all!
Yeah, it was Casper Van Dien. It's the Casper Van Dien, Dina Meyer. Amazingly epic, not copy of the book. They're going to be on there heckling and cracking wise at it at all possible opportunities. So I know that's definitely something I'm going to look forward to August 15th. And I think other people should, of course, check their area and see if they, can be going on there where they're at. That's my bit of nerd. That's set up for this week, other than religious amounts of Shadowrun Online and bouncing around my different MMO addictions. So, anything jumping out at y'all this week or next week or things that are going on in the wide world of weird nerd stuff?
Well, it's not so much a nerd, it's a gamer thing. There's an MMO out there right now, MechWarrior Online. If sure anybody's a big MechWarrior fan knows about it.
I actually just got an email about from that. I'm in beta. I just haven't really been active in beta.
They're doing this special thing right now. They had it's basically a fundraiser for the Canadian Cancer Society. A very young player of the game, her name was Sarah Perry. She passed away from cancer, and she's been apparently been a MechWarrior fan for years and years since she was little. And her favorite mech was the Jinner, and they have created a special variant of the Jinner for MechWarrior Online. You can buy it for $10, and all of that money goes to the Canadian Cancer Society.
That's awesome. Wait, didn't they? I just was looking at the email, and unfortunately, if I click away to my actual email, because I'm only one screen. So if I click away to my email, like, I'll break camera. Didn't they post an amount that they've already raised, if I remember right? Like, they've already raised
so
much of it. They
have, as of me loading the page, raised $85,090.
That's freaking awesome. That's kind of crazy, because you're looking at, like, $10 a mech. That's a lot.
That's
mechs.
A lot. That's, 8,000. 509.
That's just awesome. So definitely, if you happen to be listening to us and are a MechWarrior Online person, in the beta or in, you know, getting ready for all that, make sure you definitely jump on that, because it's definitely a worthy cause. I love causes that also give me game swag. So big fan of that.
I'm looking at the concept art for it, and it's actually kind of adorable. It's got mixed matched parts. Some of the paint is intended to look like patchwork. There's a what looks like Rainbow Dash's pony mark and a teddy bear on it as well.
That's awesome. Oh, speaking of, and I'm not entirely sure. Oh, teddy bear. That's why. This is sort of an aside, a random thing for you brown coats out there. I know that there aren't any brown coats on this show, but shush. If you happen to be on Netflix, Netflix just acquired the rights to the fan tribute movie Done the Impossible, which kind of talks about the rise and fall and fall and fall and fall and rise of the Firefly and Serenity and the brown coat universe. Originally, it was only something you could find like through different websites, and it wasn't really anything that you could get. You couldn't really get a hold of it very easily, and now they've got it up on Netflix. So, like, right in my instant queue, it's Firefly, Serenity, Done the Impossible. So, I think it's really cool. I mention it because a lot of people don't know this. I really haven't talked that much about stuff I do outside of Tribbles and Ecstasy, but I'm actually the gaming director for a convention here in Southwest Louisiana, and we routinely have the Bedlam Bards, which if you go to Renaissance Festivals, you know, Cedric and Hawk are really awesome. They're really awesome guys, and they'll go around anywhere, and this past year, we actually formed a brown coat chapter here locally at Cedric's kind of pushing. He really encouraged us to get started and to reach out to the Austin chapter and a number of other brown coat chapters, which is really cool because the brown coat movement, the whole Firefly Serenity movement, really doesn't have a centralized command structure because that's just the way we like it. But it's also kind of thematic. So, Done the Impossible, really good show, and as all good brown coats, I take this moment of Star Trek glory to pimp Firefly.
Very well,
I agree.
Actually, no, it happens like early on in the whole brown coat thing. Like, we really kind of got a bad reputation early on because, like, some of the brown coats would go on to like Star Trek fan sites or Star Wars fan sites, and they would like jump into the middle of those of the Star Trek Star Wars debate by like frothing at the mouth and screaming about the glories of Joss Whedon, and like it's really weird because like,
yeah, I've never seen Star Trek or Star Wars fans do that. Never ever.
I know, right? I mean, yeah. It's like, well, but yeah.
Well, you know, like, you know, your Star Trek people will go to a Star Wars forum and rile people up that way and vice versa. But, like, you don't really ever see Star Trek or Star Wars people go find a brown coat website and do that. But, like, brown coats are all over it. They're like, what? What? They're talking about their shows. Well, I'm just going to tell them all about my show. And,
guerrilla warfare, man. Guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla marketing, that's the answer. But actually, it's really cool because there's been a lot of popular upswing based on the fact that Joss has done, you know, Joss did so well with the Avengers, and of course he's coming out with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, like, more people are kind of turning to, let's see what else he did. Oh, he did this little show called Buffy, and he did this show called Angel. And then there's this other thing, these 12 episodes called Firefly. What's this about? I'm sorry, 14. But, so, yeah, I thought it was cool that Done the Impossible has finally got onto Netflix. And it's definitely a cool watch if you're a fan of the fandom, so to speak.
Oh, I'm going to go check it out.
I kind of wonder if Fox is currently trying to buy ABC so they can cancel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because, you know, that's what Fox does.
I think so. Actually,
bastards.
Well, I know that Joss has flat out said he will never shop Fox again because of the treatment that. Well, first off, it started with the treatment with his treatment when they sold off Angel, because I think it was Fox that had Buffy and Angel, and then they sold off Angel to like CW or something, and then they told Joss he couldn't continue to develop the two interdependently, because if you remember. The first season where Angel starts is like right when Buffy dies, and there's this big back and forth. There's about five or six episodes in both seasons where they're Angel's going to Sunnydale, and people from Sunnydale are going to Los Angeles, and they're playing back and forth, and then suddenly those scenes got relegated to. Willow would make a phone call in Buffy, and in Angel would answer the phone and say something cryptic, and that would be it. And if you watch both shows, you knew what was going on. But then eventually Fox stepped on that and told him he couldn't even do that anymore. And so that's where it all started with Joss, I think.
I don't really blame him at all either, really.
It's cool. He's got his Mad Avengers money, yo.
I actually saw a hilarious thing where someone had edited the poster / DVD cover for Avengers. At the very top of it, it says, "Mentioned in the suicide note of the Fox executive who canceled Firefly."
Yep. But yeah, definitely good times. So really, wow, we're running on another hour show. I really wish, you know, I sort of feel good because we're normally most talk shows are most of our talk shows at Holosuite are scheduled for an hour, but between content and between discussion, we tend to bleed over a little bit. So I know there hasn't been a lot of content dropped, so it's good to know that we can fill up the time, so to speak. I want to. I think next, I'd say we voted on First City next week, right, guys?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those of you at home get to see Katsu's, one of Katsu's Klingons. I haven't decided which one I'm going to be yet. I might be my Orion female, so just to shake things up a little bit. So
I'll be on my Reman privateer.
Yar.
He flies around in a scimitar, because that's totally, you know, stealthy, not going to be noticed.
That's also piratey, man. I mean, you don't go flying around in a, you know, Romulan chills out at his house. You know, it's like, I'm a pirate. I'm going to fly around in a scimitar, because that's how that rolls. So, yeah, definitely a cool thing. And if y'all have any kind of ideas to where we should host a show, or if there's a fleet out there that wants us to do a broadcast, you know, during a fleet party of theirs, then definitely, you know, hit us up. Let us know. and we
the
will
thing we could do that we used to do every once What's in that? A while is broadcast from a special ship bridge.
I'm a big fan of that. There's a lot of ship bridges to broadcast from, except for the Ferengi. That's really cramped.
Yeah, but one thing we used to do, and I used to do it when I was a radio DJ as well, is there's a Klingon bridge with a very large empty circular area in the back of the main bridge. Perfect for dance parties.
That's not the Bortosk one, is it?
No, this was well before that. This was
We'll look it up.
I have it on one of my characters. I'll have to look it up.
That sounds like a cool idea. So,
but before we do go...
Absolutely. What do you have?
For those of you who don't have your wallet screaming at you in agony, there is a Steam sale going on right now because of QuakeCon, where everything made by pretty much Bethesda and id Software is on sale. I bought the BFG... I bought Doom 3 BFG Edition for like $5 yesterday.
So I'm now broke, is what you just said.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Definitely hit that up. If it weren't for the fact that I then have no money to do anything else with the rest of my life, the Steam sales are absolutely ridiculously awesome. So
you can get like every game made by id and a lot of the Bethesda games, I think, right now in a bundle for like $90.
I need Hexen. What? Nothing says loving like hitting an invincibility code and turning into a chicken.
Oh, no, that was a small, quiet laugh of agreement.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Ooh, I was in surprise and alarm. No. All right, so, yeah, I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us tonight.
Wait a second.
What?
And this is STR related. Does anybody else think that maybe this ambassador and lieutenant should be Romulan Republic guys now?
Which ambassador and lieutenant?
That I'm standing over here by. It's a Romulan ambassador and a Romulan lieutenant, but they're wearing the Tal Shiar outfit.
I think so. Unless the Vulcans are in league with the Tal Shiar.
Dun 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 dun.
Dun. Which would, of course, be highly illogical.
This Vulcan civilian has no legs.
Well, don't make fun of him. Stop staring.
Yeah, that's not polite.
Guy gave him a wheelchair.
But no, that is actually a really good call out that, of course, that hardly anybody ever notices because, well, they're from, because it's Vulcan.
They are related to a daily mission that you can do for diplomatic experience. Also, there appears to be something weird going on with the ambassador's hair. Like, he's got metal growing out of the side of his face.
Borg! Anyway. That's definitely a good call-out. I think we need to yell and scream about that. I wish some of these, like, custom planetary environments, I really wish there more gets done with them as we go in. Like, apart from... Oh, no. There's one thing I want to... I'm going to leave everybody with this evening, and that is, if you are listening, and whether you care or not, you need to let Brandflakes know that we think that the Klingons, that antisocial bunch of non-drinking, non-rabble-rousers, maybe needs an extra social zone or two, because, well... I was lying. They're completely known for drinking and socializing and partying at every given possible opportunity, and they definitely need more social zones.
Probably a large hunting lodge with dancers.
And I understand that the argument can be made for the star bases, but I don't think that's enough. I think there needs to be a much bigger presence of social stuff, because if we've got Vulcan and Ryza and the Academy and everything else, just for,
you can also go to Andoria
and Andoria and these other places. If we can go to all these other, if the Fed side can go to Sirius and go to all these other planets, then the KDF needs the ability to do similar stuff. Because to be honest, like most of Star Trek, like you don't really get a lot of socialization other than being on board the ship, so to speak.
We could get a nice Klingon social zone, Khitmer.
I think Khitmer would be cool. I think, you know, I mean, I hate to say a socialization area on Ruripente, but like, I for the longest time, the moment I created a Klingon, the first thing I did, I went to Nomot and I went to Ruripente, and I couldn't get into Ruripente at all. And I was like, well, what's the point of having it here other than it's a planet and it needs to be placed? Like, if you're not going to let us play on the planet, then at least give us a mission that happens around that planet, you know?
Well, which they did do eventually.
Well, eventually, after every single update was... After every single update in STO was greeted by, hey, we could use some Klingon content, you know? I just think that there needs to be more social zones other than the neutral star, other than the neutral star bases and first city. Cause like, I've never even really, apart from the mission, the Academy mission that happens down on planet, like there's no incentive to go to Klingon Academy at all. Maybe there should be stuff that happens there other than that one mission, which is, to be honest, I could be doing 13 other things that are way more productive in my opinion. So like, definitely, if you're listening, even if you don't give two craps about the KDF side, support your friendly players and your unfriendly players and your players who are going to show you about the Klingon storylines in the, you know, episodes to come. Support Roach, and tell the developers we need KDF social zones.
I mean, if the Bajorans can get a social zone.
Maybe at Vegas, at the con, where they're talking.
Yeah.
Constantly bring up Klingon social zones.
Yeah, we need
Klingon social zones 2013.
I definitely think that needs to be brought up. And if you're bouncing around on the Star Trek Las Vegas stuff, or if you're listening in and you're going to the panels, definitely hit up that, you know, we really want to see more Klingon social zones, because my starbase is cool and all, but I ain't inviting y'all all to my starbase just so y'all can hang out. All of my starbases have get off my lawn on the side. It's great. Anyway, so I want to thank all the panel that were here tonight. Roach, who seems to have ducked out a little early, but Skipper and Woody Valley and Alistair. I'm Katsu, and for everyone here at Holosuite Media, and everyone here specifically for Tribbles and Ecstasy, I want to thank you all very much for tuning in, and I hope to see you next week, where we will be dealing with Klingon content, and we shall be probably beating the snot out of each other at some point. Anyway, so...
Yay.
Fisticuff PvP!
Raw! At any rate,
I'll bring my Batlas.
I will bring my Shard Sword of Kaelas. Why? Because KDF gets to assault hell. What does the Fed side get to do? Keep the peace. Anyway, so, for a much more militant episode next week, I am Katsu, and this is Tribbles in Ecstasy, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
The following live broadcast of Tribbles in Ecstasy may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised. Now give it up for Warp 11.
And TNG and THC.